Take your Bibles, open up to the book of 3 John. Meet me over there. It's near the end of the Bible. It's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. So if you get to Revelation, go back left just a couple of pages and you're going to see it. It's the shortest book in the entire Bible. It's got the fewest words in it. Last week, we looked at 2 John. We're finishing up with 3 John. In fact, what we're going to do is you're going to finish all of it today, all right, just so you know. We're wrapping up kind of the Verified series. We've walked through, again, like I said, we've seen what the Apostle John had to say to the churches near Ephesus in 1 John. And we saw what he had to say last week in 2. And today is a very unique thing. He is sending a letter to a very specific person. And we're going to get to see how he encourages that very person. Here's what he encourages him with. He encourages him to live faithfully, and he encourages him to give faithfully. And we're going to see what that has to look like. There's a modern-day author named, his name was A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer wrote this in one of his books, and he says this. He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Now, I want you to hear that again. When we think about God, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Now, what he's saying there, or communicating, is this, is that how we view God the Father says a lot about how we act and respond in him. If we view God as a tyrant sitting on a throne trying to be a killjoy, we run from that. But if we see God as God the Father, as a God who loves us, he cares for us, he wants to walk with us, then we run to that daddy. We run to him like Chad was talking about in his prayer. And so theology matters. What we believe about God matters. And I guess I want you to kind of catch this. When I say belief, I don't just mean belief here. I don't just mean belief here. I mean belief by how you live, how we live. Because what we believe should dictate how we walk, how we live, and what goes on. And so today I want to take the question that Tozer wrote about, and I want to turn it just a little bit. And here's what I want to ask you, all right? This is the question I want to bring to you today. And I think he talks a little, that's one of the things he's kind of central of in 3 John is this. When your name comes up, when your name comes up in someone's mind, when someone thinks of you, when someone sees you walking down the hallway, when they see you coming at work, when they see that you're on the way, what comes to their mind? Is it, oh no, hide your wallet, hide your kids, hide your wife, I got to get, let's get them away? Is it, boy, that's a complainer? Is it, they see this lady and they go, she's so joyful. I mean, she's encouraging. I look so forward to being around that person. What is it, what would people say about you? What is it that they would, what do people think when they see you coming? What is it they think when your name comes up? Well, that's exactly what we're going to see today, and we're going to talk about what does it mean, as John wrote to this man named Gaius, what it means to live faithfully and what it means to give faithfully. If you got your Bibles, let's look. 3 John, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Here we go. 3 John, beginning in verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, if you're writing down, if you're thumbing something, notes in, here's the very first point that we're going to jump out. If today we're talking about what it means to live and give, we're going to talk about what it means to live faithfully in here, because that's what John begins to say to him. He wants us to live faithfully. If you were here last week, if you weren't, I want you to go back and listen to the message. The very first two words of 3 John are the very same words in 2 John. The elder. Literally, what that means is the old man. John is saying, listen, this is my title. This is what I would have been known as. He was over kind of the bishop and the overseer of churches in the Ephesus area. He would have been the one that was kind of giving the spiritual leadership. So it's a title of authority. It's a title of respect. It's a title of, hey, listen, you guys know who I am. You know who I am. See, his life had proceeded. When they thought of him, they thought of someone with respect, someone who walked with the Lord, because he's probably the last living apostle at this point. All the other disciples who were called by Jesus were probably dead at this moment. So his word mattered. Notice what else he said. He said, the elder to my beloved Gaius. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Gaius. You can go Google his name, and when you do, there's going to be very, very little. It's going to revolve around this right here. There's not a lot written in theological history, redemptive history, about Gaius. But there are some things that we do know based on this passage that is very, very important. One of them is this, is that he called him my beloved. I mean, John loved him. Somehow their lives had rubbed up against each other. They had come alongside one another. He may have been one of John's disciples. He was a leader. He was a runner for him. He was carrying a letter probably. And he said, Gaius, my beloved, he says, whom I love in truth. Now I want you to catch this. John loved truth. And he said, in whom I love in truth. Last week, when you're reading an author in the Bible, Peter, James, John, Paul, and you know they've written other books, what you want to do is you begin to pick up themes and you hear how he writes and what he has to say. And last week he talked about how important truth is. And he says, listen, there are people who are out to deceive you. They are antichrist in 2 John. He said, and so here he's saying, and he said in 2 John, he said, listen, what they're deceiving you with is that Jesus isn't the true, he isn't the true God. There was a deficient gospel happening. Well, here he says, Gaius, I love you in the truth. You're walking in the truth. The brothers are telling me you are a faithful man because you're walking in the truth. And the truth that united them, it was not political party. It wasn't a sports team. It wasn't their love of the same restaurants. You know what it was? It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. John followed Jesus. He staked his life on it. Gaius, he says, listen, in truth, I love you. Your life is showing that you follow the truth. Did you realize that today, that's a unity that we have right here in this place? In this room right here, there are people of different backgrounds. Socioeconomically, there are people who look differently than one another. There are people who dress differently than one another. There are people who like different music than others. All of those things in the world system should drive us apart, because today, you know how people do, don't you? They come together as tribes. And if we don't look alike, sound alike, like the same things, we divide up. In this very room, all of those things, the diversity of this room brings about a unity. We have strength because of our diversity, not because we're just diverse, but because of Jesus Christ, who is our strength. And when we can look differently, when we can think differently, when we like different music, when we come from different parts of town, different parts of the country, but we can come together and be united in Jesus Christ, I want you to hear this. There's a strength in that. There's a strength in that. And that's what John says. John says, listen, I know you, Gaius. I love you. I love you in the truth. The brothers say you're still walking in the truth that saved your soul. That's something to get excited about right there. Look at what it says in verse 2. He says, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Now, this is a passage. This is a passage that many health and wealth preachers want to camp out on and say that, listen, God just wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be wealthy. This is a big deal right here. I want you to hear that. God does want us to be healthy. He doesn't always want us to be wealthy. He doesn't always want us to be healthy. You got to talk to Job about some of that, okay? Listen, God brings trials and tribulations into our lives. All of that sounds great, but it's just not Bible, okay? Here's what I want you to hear. He's saying to him, listen, your health matters. You need to keep your health up so that you can go for the gospel, so that you can go and share the truth, so that you're not broke down. And listen, today in the world that we live in, If you're online and you're unable to come because your health and the virus stuff out there, we need to be concerned about health. But more than that, we need to be concerned about spiritual health. We need to be concerned about our spiritual health. Notice what he says in verse 2. He says, listen, my beloved Gaius, I'm praying that all may go well with you. He says, I want you to be in good health just as your spirit is in good health. Now, I want to ask you this. How's your spiritual health? Is your physical health in better health than your spirit? Or have we been so worried about our health that we're neglecting the spiritual health that we're called to? Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy, and he says, listen, physical training, it's a good thing. But he says, listen, godliness is good for this life and the next. He says, listen, we've got to be worried more about our spiritual health than our physical health. And I'm going to, I have been sick. I want you to hear that. So I'm going to say something here. I think many of us are so worried about physical health that we're neglecting the spiritual health. We're letting our physical health get in the way. Now, don't turn me off in this room or online and think, he doesn't think physical health is important. No, it is. Physical health is important, but I want you to hear me. Spiritual health is more important. So if you're sitting in this room or you're sitting online and you are neglecting the gathering together of the body, if you're not spending time in the Word, if you're not at least texting, calling the believers, the brothers and the sisters and saying, hey, how you doing? I know we're apart from one another. I know we're apart from one another. Some of you are online and you're worried about getting into this room. Listen, there are smaller groups that we can get you into. The church, as followers of Jesus, we've got to be together. It may not always be in a room this size. It can be rooms that are smaller and more distant, but you have to be concerned about your spiritual health. And John says, hey, I'm praying that your health goes along with your spiritual health. It may go as well. And today, for some of us in here, we may be going, oh no, my spiritual health is not real good. Well, how would you want your spiritual health and your physical health to mirror one another? John is calling us to spiritual health right here. Our physical health is important, but he's calling to spiritual health. And you know what he says? He says, listen, Gaius, you're walking faithfully. You're living faithfully. You know how come? Because the brothers have come to me and they said, this dude's the real deal. He's the real deal. The truth of the gospel, he lives it out every day. He is walking. You're not going to guess where this guy falls. You're not going to guess. You're not going to wonder, who is it that he serves? John says, notice what he says. I want you to look at it in verse 4. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. His joy is not, listen, there's no great joy in a new camel. There's no great joy in a new robe. There's no great joy in new sandals for John. It's that his children are walking in the truth. I want to tell you as your pastor here, there's nothing that fires me up more than to get a phone call, a text, an email, somebody in the hallway saying, you're not going to believe what the Lord did in my life. Man, I got to share my faith. Listen, I don't know how we made it this past week, but he met a bill. Those things, my faith has been increased because of what I've seen. I stepped out when I didn't think I could step out, and God met me there. There's nothing that brings me more joy than to hear that. Nothing. Listen, Bree Haynes is about to go to, the other side of the world, past the other side of the world. And her mom is going to be sad when she gets on a plane. Don't start crying yet, Michelle. She's going to be sad when she gets on a plane. But you know what's going to bring Michelle Haynes more joy than anything is when she talks to her on FaceTime and Bree says, you're not going to believe who came to Jesus today. Listen, folks, the question today is that are you living faithfully? Are you walking faithfully? Are you concerned about your spiritual health? Are you concerned about the spiritual health of others? What would the people who are walking near you say about you? Would the brothers and the sisters say, hey, I can testify to this brother. I can testify to this sister. They love Jesus. And did you notice this? John didn't read Gaius's Instagram bio that Gaius wrote, made it sound all good. No, the brothers are the ones that came and said, I've watched it. I've seen it right here. He's real. The question today, what would they say about you? Would they say that you're living faithfully? Would they say, would the brothers say, yes, what he says, what she says, those two things line up. I mean, they line up. That's my prayer. That's what I want to hear for you. That's what I want you to experience. Because when we are living in harmony with what we say and what we do, life is in the good spot. It's not always easy. It's not always easy, but you know, I'm right where I need to be. I'm living faithfully, and the Spirit confirms that. The second thing is this, though. The second thing we're going to start reading in verse 5 is that he also calls them to give faithfully. And I think today he's saying to us that we need to give faithfully. Some of you got tense right there. Some of you got a little tense. We're going to look. Let's look at what the Scripture has to say, though. Beginning in verse 5. Beloved, it is a faithful thing that you do. Notice he called him beloved. My beloved, I love you. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. You don't even know them, but strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles, those who are not a part of the church, those who are far from God. Therefore, we ought to support people like these that we may be fellow workers for the truth, that we should be fellow workers for the truth. Gaius, it's already been pointed out by John that Gaius lived faithfully. I mean, he walked faithfully, his lifestyle lined up, and then he comes in and he says, listen, guys, thank you because you've been faithfully giving also. You've been doing that. Your faithful giving, not only does it demonstrate that you love God, that you are faithful, that you're faithful in your living, it verifies the fact that you are, your possessions, your finances, they don't have a hold on you. You got a hold on them. You're the one that's in control of those. You remember a minute ago I said, we don't know a whole lot about Gaius, but what we do know, what we have seen here in this passage are some very important things. I want to recall those real quickly. He's loved by John, and he loves John. He walks in the truth. He's still walking in the gospel truth. In fact, it's so true that the brothers see it, and they're telling people, this is a real deal dude. Now, here's the thing. I said a minute ago, we don't know all kinds of, like this. Let me tell you something we don't know. We don't know if Gaius had a wife. We have no idea. We don't know if he had a wife, but here's what I can bet you. Here's what I will guarantee you. If he did have a wife, because we know that he's been living and walking faithfully, he loved his wife as Christ loved the church. He cared for her. He honored her in the way that Christ would call. We have no idea if he had children. We just don't know that. But what we do know is that he walked faithfully. He lived faithfully. He walked in the truth. And because of that, we know he would have been discipling his kids at home. They would have known that dad's life is true. He follows Jesus. I don't understand it all, but it's made a difference in his life, and he lived that in front of his children. We have no idea about Gaius's financials. There is no financial record, no bank statement, no nothing, but here's what we know. Because he lived faithfully, and he walked faithfully, and he loved the truth, we know this, that he stewarded the money that God gave him well. We know that. I personally believe that because he walked in the truth, that guys, I believe, probably gave a tenth, a tithe to the church, that he followed in that, because that's what we believe the Scripture teaches. It's giving the first fruits back that the Scripture talks about all through, that he would have been faithful in that. He would have honored the Lord in that. Some of you right now are going, but you don't know me. Listen, some of you in here, you're walking so faithfully today. You're living faithfully. And I want to tell you, Gaius, because we do have room full of Gaius in here. Thank you for being faithful with giving. You are living out everything that the Scripture says about giving faithfully. Thank you for doing that. There are some of you in here, though, you haven't begun to do that. And I need you to hear this. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to call you to that. You know why? Not because LifePoint needs more money, not because God needs your money, but because you need to bring your finances under the lordship of the Lord so that he has total control of your life. Listen, there is more stress today in people's lives because their finances are so out of whack, and they're trying to keep up with like Joneses and Smiths and Morgans and whoever. And God just says, hey, listen, God guarantees us. He guarantees us that we can live better on 90% than on trying to live on 100%. That's his word. But not only that, notice what he said in verse 5. Verse 5, John told Gaius, he says, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts. I think that this is very much right here. He is expanded. He's not just talking about giving your tithe, but helping the brothers go on, it says. All your efforts. Now, again, we don't know exactly what all your efforts mean. But in the context of this passage, we know that Gaius has opened his house. It says to strangers they are. He opened his house, probably to missionaries who were passing by to each and every church. And just so you have a little context here, where John would have been the bishop and the overseer of all the region of Ephesus, church history tells us, within there you have the church of the Colossae. Church of the Colossians. You remember in Revelation where it talks about the church of Laodicea? Colossae and Laodicea are 10 miles apart. They would have been going back and forth between these churches. And so it would have taken people like Gaius to help them along, opening their home. So Gaius has probably opened his home. He's probably fed these people. He's probably helped to clothe them. As they're getting ready to go, he probably gave them a little pocket change. Hey, this will help you get down the road. Listen, he has helped the brothers. And that testimony has come back to John. He says, listen, you've lived faithfully, you're giving faithfully, and I can think of no greater cause and no greater time than we are helping to spread no greater name than Jesus Christ across the world. But we have to be faithful in our living and our giving. This is what he's calling us to today. This is what he's called us to. If you'll let me a little personal note here for a second. Back in 2009, my family, my wife, and my three children, all teenagers at the time, my wife and I had been married for 20 years. We felt God calling us to move to the heart of Europe, to Brussels, to plant church, start living as church. LifePoint, the church, sent us. I'm looking in this room. This church, LifePoint, sent us over there. It was in all of your efforts that you did that. When we would come home on furlough, people would open their homes. They would literally, we had no vehicle. We sold everything and took bags to Europe. That was it. We would come home and they would say, hey, here's a car. Use our car while you're here. 6 weeks, take my car. It was a clunker, but it got me around, okay? I'm thankful. In all their efforts, they would open their home. They would feed us. They would put us in their home so we could sleep. In all their efforts. Today in Brussels, there's a church that still meets today. 10 years later, over 100 people meet weekly. 40 different languages are spoken. 40 different languages, 40 different nationalities. People are being baptized, they're being saved, they're being sent back to their home countries. Why? Because of the faithful efforts of you, this church. I had a college student who jumped on to our support team. College student. For 2 years, every month, a $5 check. For you young people, a check is something you used to write out, you'd tear out, and you would mail. A $5 check, can I tell you something? It took $6,200 a month for our family to be in Brussels. We didn't set that. That was set by the organization that sent us. That $5 check, because John says in verse 8, you're fellow workers for the truth. Did you realize that $5 check is still paying, $5 a month is still paying dividends today? That investment by that college student, there's a church there, there's people being saved, there's people going everywhere. He was a fellow worker. You're not just giving money, you're going. You realize that? You're going by sending. That's what God calls us. That's what John, yes, come on. That right there is what John is calling us to. He says, guys, you did it. Guys, you're living faithfully. Guys, you're stewarding the finances that God has given you. And we've many times, we've fallen to the lie. We don't have enough. What if this happens? Well, I can't. I need to be... Listen, if I brought you over to my house for dinner with my five kids and their family, and you came over, you and your wife, and I wrote you, my wife has made an apple pie, and I hand out slices of apple pie to everybody, and I get to you and go, oops, there's none left. Listen, this is what we do to God each and every month. The honored guest gets the first slice. That's why it's called the first fruit. We start there. And then everyone else gets a piece. And it makes do. And he extends. He meets our needs like we would have never thought. Some of you right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about because it's 2020. It's 2020, isn't it? Some of you have lost jobs. Some of you have been in situations and you're going, I don't know how I survived to this point. Well, let me tell you, God is faithful to his children, and he will continue to be that to us when we live faithfully. We walk in the gospel. We say, this is what we believe, and God, I trust you, and so now I'm going to give faithfully. This is what he's called us to. This is what he's pointed to. Look with me in verse 9 through 11. We're closing out. Verse 9 through 11. He's going to contrast some things, and I really want you to see this, okay? Verse 9, I've written something to the church. So he's written another letter. He wrote this one to Gaius, and he says, I've written another letter to the church. But Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, obviously the word has already gotten back about Diotrephes, okay? He likes to put himself first. He does not acknowledge our authority. He would say, hey, the old man, we don't listen to him. The elder, John, we don't need to listen to him. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, notice this, and not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. The one John's been writing to, he refused to welcome the brothers, and he stops those who wants to, and he puts them out of the church. Gaius, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Now here, John has unpacked all the faithfulness of Gaius, and he brings up a guy named Diotrephes, and he says, listen, Gaius, here you've been God-centered. Diotrephes, all he cares about is himself. Gaius, you love the brothers love you. Diotrephes, he loves himself. In fact, he doesn't love the brothers. He refuses the brothers. In fact, he kicks the people out who wants to be with the brothers. He kicks them out of the church. Now, Diotrephes could have been, we don't know for a fact, he could have been the pastor of that church. Wow. What we are certain of is that he had enough authority and influence that he could kick people out. Probably it was in a house. Could have been his house, for all we know. What we do know is that forever, hey, if you're gone from me right now, forever, Diotrephes is known as a selfish man who didn't love the brothers, who kept people out of the church. So here's the question. Here's the question for you and me today. Whose bio do you want? You want Gaius? Who lived faithfully because the brothers said, that dude's real. Do you want his bio? He gave faithfully. He stewarded the money that God had given him. Well, or do you want to be the bio of Diotrephes, who selfish, man-centered, not God-centered. Kicked the brothers out of the church. Didn't want anything to do with them. He did not live faithfully. In my holy imagination, I would like to see John and his posse go in and kick a little tail with Diotrephes, to be honest with you, when he came. But because John probably lived faithfully too, he said, "Beloved, what are you doing? Do you understand?" He even probably treated Diotrephes with the grace that he did not deserve, because John knew that God lavished grace upon him that he didn't deserve. And today, are you going to live faithful? Are you going to give faithful? The God who owns it all, who raises up kingdoms and tears down kingdoms, who has an economy that he can move this money to this money to this person in a heartbeat. And he thinks nothing of it because it never makes his balance sheet go down. Who, what are we going to do? Are we going to live faithfully? We're going to give faithfully. I want to be real practical for just a moment. We try to make it really, really simple for us here to walk in faithfulness with giving. There's so many ways. You can give electronically. You can text in finances, text in your tithe, your offerings, your gifts. You can go to your bank account, and you can set it up to where it's monthly, and it just goes. Over 60% of LifePoint budget comes in by that. And can I tell you how thankful I am for you, especially you people who are online right now, even though they're not able to come, we're being faithful in giving because it just comes electronically. I encourage you in that. You can drop cash in the offering buckets. I never see it. It goes, somebody, our officer out here collects it, puts it in a locked bag, and it gets taken to the bank. Folks, we want you to be faithful with what it is that God's entrusted to us. He's called us to that. But more than that, I want you to hear this. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, keep your money. Give him your heart. Because the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the good news of God is all about giving. God gave his one and only Son. Jesus gave his life on a cross so that those of us who were far from God might surrender our lives to him and come under the blood of Jesus and have eternal life. The Holy Spirit opened my eyes and gave me salvation. And today, we want you to know Jesus. After we know Jesus, we can start walking the rest. The most important thing today is, where's your heart? What's he calling us to? I want to read an article to you, or read a passage of one, not an article. It's written by a guy, a pastor today. His name is John Piper. It was written about a month ago. And I want to read a portion of it to you. And I'm going to ask you to clue in and hear this for me real quick, okay? I want to read this to you. He wrote it to a set of pastors, but it's about us, the church. And here's what he says. He says, "I want you to imagine that America collapses." I hope that gets your attention real quick. I want you to imagine America collapses. First, there's anarchy, and then there's tyranny. It's from the right and the left. Imagine that religious freedom is gone. What remains for Christians is fine, prison, exile, and martyrdom. Then ask yourself this: has my preaching, my teaching, and my living been developing real and radical Christians? Christians who can sing on the scaffolds, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever." Christians who will act like believers in Hebrews: "You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one." Christians who will face hate and reviling and exclusion for Christ's sake, and yet rejoice in that day and leave for joy, for behold, their stewardship is great in heaven. Have you been cultivating Christians who see the beauty and the worth of the Son of God? Have you faithfully unfolded and lived and heralded the unsearchable riches of Christ? And are you raising up generations of those who would say with Paul, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord? Have you shown them that they are sojourners and exiles, and that their citizenship is in heaven, from which they wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they feel in their bones that to live is Christ and to die is gain? And he closes and he says, have we shown them that people who do the most good for the greatest number, for the longest time, are people who have the aroma of another world with another king named Jesus? Folks, this is what we're calling you to today. To live faithfully. To give faithfully. Because this world's not our home. We're just passing through. Jesus, we love you and we honor you. And I pray, Father, that our lives would be a sweet aroma to you. I pray that we would live faithfully. I pray that you would call people in this room or online right now, that they would surrender their lives to you as Savior and Lord if they do not know you. Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming to this earth, for living a life that I could not live, for dying a death I did not want to die, so that I might have a life with you one day and have a right relationship with God. Holy Spirit, today would you save people? Would you point them to Jesus? Holy Spirit, for those of us who are followers, if there's an area in our life where we're not living faithfully, would you reveal that so that we can repent of it and turn back? Holy Spirit, would you reveal to us whether or not we're stewarding the finances that God's given us correctly? We want to have open hands to you. Not just raised hands, but open hands. You've given, and so now we give back. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. I'm going to ask that you'd stand today the way that we're responding. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. Some of you need to come out to the back and see me and talk to me about salvation. Some of you need to come out to the back and talk to Bree about going with her and helping to send her. Whatever it is today, don't leave here without doing the business with the Spirit that needs to be done that he's calling you to. Zion, lead us, please.